You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of April. A great performance by Utah against Denver. And then everything just went wrong, or at least wrong to what you probably want for the Jazz. We'll break it all down. We'll look at all of it. We'll look at where the playoffs sit. We'll see what goes on tonight against the Clippers. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, and looking at the way the Jazz throttled the Denver Nuggets last night, and then had a bunch of things go wrong. This show is available to you on Himalaya, which is a new app. You can check it out. Download it on your Android or your Apple. Android or your Apple. Also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Tell your smart device when you get in the car, play podcast Locked On Jazz. So the Jazz were really good last night. Donovan was brilliant. Rudy shut down Nikola Jokic for the second time this year. Nikola Jokic probably had what Denver people are saying is the worst game of his entire NBA career. And then absurdity took place. Absolute absurdity. The Oklahoma City Thunder came from 10 down in the fourth quarter to defeat the Houston Rockets and win their game. And then Portland somehow seemingly was going to do the same thing that the Clippers and the Jazz did, which was lose to the Lakers. And then Mo Harkless hit that game winner. So what does this all mean? Where do we sit from the playoff standpoint? Let me walk through all of it for you here, if I may. It's actually not as complicated anymore as it was at one point in time. With the win, the Utah Jazz assured themselves at least fourth or fifth in the playoffs. So with that win, what we did is we assured ourselves to be at least fifth. When Houston didn't beat Oklahoma City, Houston no longer assured themselves of the possibility of being guaranteed two or three. So Houston suddenly has the possibility with that loss to Oklahoma City to fall all the way down to four, which when you've suddenly secured yourself as the fifth spot, you probably would like to avoid. At that point, when Houston's won that game, what we now need is either Denver to lose tonight to Minnesota, seems very unlikely. Seems the other choice is that Portland has to lose one of their next two. In fact, Portland could have lost both, we could have actually slid into the fourth spot if we win tonight against the Clippers, but we really just needed Portland to lose one of the two so that we didn't have to play Houston. And both of those things happened as a buzzer beater. Had Houston beat Oklahoma City, then they would have been assured those, and we wouldn't have to worry about Houston. But instead, by winning that game last night in dominating fashion, the Jazz, who probably have, if there's a team the Jazz don't want to play, it's Houston. And it's not as much because of Harden. And we can't score against them. Like, that's, I think people, like, that's the thing I think people are missing a little bit. We don't score against Houston. When you look at our offensive games this year, and you find our worst offensive games this season, our offensive rating against Houston the first time we played them was a 99.7. And they beat us. And obviously we have a hard time stopping them, too. They do things to Rudy that are awfully difficult. Second time we played them, our offensive rating was an 89.3. It was our 76th worst offensive performance of the season out of 82. The next time we played the Rockets, sorry, I'm just pulling it up right now, obviously, so you can probably hear me. We had an 88.7. It's our 8th worst offensive performance of the season. We can't score against them. We are a handoff pick team. They switch everything. They also switch things where they touch switch, where they step forward into you, break your patterns, and we are unable to run our dribble handoffs and our pick game that makes us what we are. It's the worst possible matchup against us. And two buzzer beaters went in to make it happen. Now tonight, Denver somehow throws up against Minnesota. Karl Anthony Towns decides he wants to beat Nikola Jokic. I just don't know how that can happen. Denver's a much better team at home than they are on the road. Minnesota has been sort of in all year. I mean, the last game of the year can be wacky, but not that wacky. And Portland plays against Sacramento. Now, this is where things could get a little funky tonight. One, CJ McCollum's coming off an injury. Dame Lillard has been driven hard, but he's played most of the year. You have to wonder, first of all, I'd be surprised if they played CJ McCollum tonight, just coming off an injury on a back-to-back. I would be surprised. But Portland wins this game. They go to the 3 seed, and they play Oklahoma City, who they lost to all 4 times this year. Last year, Portland lost in the first round of the playoffs. Prior to the Nurkic injury, it was relatively well known that if Terry Stotts and the crew didn't get out of the first round, there was a feeling they were in trouble. Absurdly. Absolutely absurdly. Because of the fact that, this is one of the best coaches in the league. But there's always been that feeling there. And so the pressure of what they need to get out of the first round is real. So is there a chance tonight that Portland sits CJ McCollum, does all the health things they're supposed to do, and ends up losing either on purpose or just because they're preserving their health to save themselves from playing Oklahoma City in the first round and playing us? Now, I think we're better than Oklahoma City, but maybe I can almost understand where Portland would be coming from and why they might consider doing something like that. The other question would be a little bit, and is how much juice does Dame have? Because Dame certainly would rather play an injured Ricky Rubio than play Russell Westbrook for 7 games. Portland feels daunting, or Oklahoma City feels daunting. I think we're better than they are, but just even the way they won the other night tells you a lot. And Steven Adams is a real problem for them, without Yusuf Nurkic, the same way the Rudy Gobert is. And Russell Westbrook and Paul George are a bigger problem for them than Donovan Mitchell is. So I would get it a little bit if Portland tonight happened against Sacramento to not roll out a full roster and see what happens. We'll see. I would say this. Portland is at least discussing the possibility. From our standpoint, you have to, had we lost last night, we could decide to lose tonight, had all these same things happened, slide into 6 to play Portland. The irony is we wouldn't have known what Portland was doing in their game, unless somehow we all got in cahoots. So it would have made it very, very difficult. But if you knew Portland was going to – now, we're set into five, so now Portland can just choose it if they want to. Had we lost, we could have possibly still slid to six if Oklahoma City lost, if we lost to the Clippers. If Oklahoma City beat Milwaukee and we lost to the Clippers. And then the question is, would have we known what Portland was doing? Could you imagine the irony if Portland were to – if we were to lose to get to six to play Portland, and Portland loses and gets to four? Ha! It's all a mess. The wild thing about it is that Denver screwed with the game in Portland and were right and got away with it. They acted first, they set the tone, and they got away with it. And then we kicked the crap out of them last night. So we'll talk about that. Today's show is brought to you by the store at 6200 South and 20th East, the great community feel that is the store. First thing is you have to try the Mudslide cookie. It is singularly the best cookie out there. I got asked by my daughter at dinner the other night if there was one food that you could just eat with no impact of its nutritional value on you anymore. What would it be? Hers was naan. They have Lazzy's Kitchen Naan, local company at the store, exactly like what we're talking about, the store and kind of their own feature. We also discussed whether we might take the store's frozen rolls, which we had the next night as our choice. They have these great rolls in the frozen, right up in the front, frozen department, that dinner rolls are just amazing. But of course, I took chocolate chip cookies in the Mudslide cookie. I would eat the Mudslide cookie. I don't know if I could eat the Mudslide cookie every day. It's that rich, but I would eat that chocolate oatmeal cookie that they have there probably every day, even though the Mudslide cookie is better. What would be the one food that you would take off, that if it had no nutritional impact anymore, you could just eat it endlessly, that you would, what would it be? The store probably has it for you. Stop by the store, 6200 South, 20th East, Cinnamon Gummy Bears would be right up there as well. And check it out. Great meat department in the back for you as well. Today's show is also brought to you by Homie. The people at Homie are revolutionizing the real estate world. For a long time, well, forever, it's simply been the same thing. And what the same thing is that Homie, as real estate agents, go get their 6% or 3%, depending on, you know, your side of the equation and how it works out. Regardless if you've updated your house, regardless if your house is in better shape, regardless of all the things you've done to increase the value, they get more money. Well, Homie's changed that. Homie is allowing you to set one simplified flat fee, $1,500 to list the house. That's it, $1,500, you're done. The equity you save is remarkable. Now, the team of Homie, with agents and lawyers and the work as a group, have worked to show thus far they're selling homes faster and they're selling them at above the market value. Find out how Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world and saving you huge amounts of equity. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK, 88588. That's LOCK at 88588 to Homie. And find out more about my friends at Homie and what they're doing to change the real estate world and how you can save huge amounts of equity on your house. The Jazz last night were brilliant. They really blasted Denver. Can we play Denver in the play? Here's the bummer. I feel really comfortable that we would win a playoff series against everybody but Houston and Golden State. And to be totally honest, I feel like we could get some games off of Golden State. And I don't know on Houston. I'm going to hope I find some things in the numbers that tell me otherwise. But I don't know on Houston. The Jeff Bedzilic return for Houston has worked out. He's come back. They're playing defense. I think you go to January 1, they're pretty much the second best defensive team in the league. They're back to being the Houston Rockets of a year ago. We have a better net rating for the season at 5.2 to their 4.8, but you dig in a little bit. Takes when both of us got hot January 1st. Our schedule got soft. They just got good. And they have the MVP. Or And in that time period, our net rating is better than theirs again, 8.1 to 7.2. So, I mean, I believe that we're as good as any of these teams. But since January 1st, their defense has not been that exquisite. Since January 1st, their defense is 11th. Post All-Star break, I think it is where their defense is really been fabulous. Unless it's faded all of a sudden here. But they are, it's just a bummer. Just didn't want to play Houston. Post All-Star break, they're the second best defense in the NBA at 105.3. We're at 104.1. You've got the two hottest teams in the Western Conference. We're 18-6 since the All-Star break. They're 20-5. If you back it up to January 1st, you end up with, they hadn't turned the corner quite yet, but they are pretty good. They're 32-14. We're 32-12. The only teams that are better in that time period are Milwaukee 35-11, Golden State 32-11. We're 32-12. They're 32-14. Portland, to their credit, with all their injuries, is 31-13. It's not that much easier. Somewhat of a joke the way we're talking. Denver would be easier. The Thunder would be easier. Clippers and Spurs would be easier. We'd get all those series. I know I'm supposed to be talking about Denver and how good we were last night, and I can't get over how unfortunate that was. Like, we throttled Denver. Our offensive ratings against Denver this year, 119. 111.5. And we throttled them in this 113. We throttled them. We got them on the back end of a back-to-back earlier this year when we were tired and we missed a bunch of open shots. But you saw it again last night. We moved that basketball, got just a ton of corner threes, throttled them. And Nikola Jokic has no chance against Rudy Gobert. If you need a better example of how great Rudy Gobert is, just run the video of him against Nikola Jokic, because Jokic is great. This is not, like, Jokic is amazing. Rudy Gobert is the one player that completely knocks him out of what he does. Completely. Last night we took 9 corner threes. We took 6 of them early. And went 6 of 18 from above the break. What I thought was interesting last night is Denver made some adjustments and got us so we couldn't take the corner threes the way we had. We torched them earlier this year. We had 13 in the matchup earlier this year against them. We had 16 in the previous game against them. And we went 2 of 12 in the game before that on corner threes. When we're rolling, it's because our corner threes, we're getting corner three looks. That's the sign our offense is rolling. Here's the contrast. Houston, 27 rim shots, 8 corner threes in our first early season matchup with them. Then our December 6th matchup, we end up taking 8 corner threes, 36 rim shots. 36 rim shots a lot. That's good. That's good shot distribution. Just didn't. Then on the December 17th game, we end up getting 18 corner threes against them. So we made a change that was good, but we went 4 of 17 on above the break. And just 15 of 30 at the rim. Probably have to dig into each of these games, see who was available, what happened. That's a pretty encouraging note right there. And then 16 corner threes in the second matchup, went 14 of 25 at the rim. And 4 of 25 from above the break three. All right, I'm feeling a little better about Houston right now. See, I'm starting my Houston prep with you. In our last two games against Houston, 4 of 17 on above the break threes and 4 of 25 on above the break threes. While going 7 of 16 on corner threes and 6 of 18 on corner threes. You get 18 corner threes, you're going to be all right. We just have to go dig in and see who took them and what happened on those games. That'll be tomorrow and Friday shows. I'll dig in, trust me. My other concern, by the way, on this whole thing is that because we're playing Harden and it's a much more appealing TV matchup, we're going to end up with an early Saturday game instead of getting us enough prep time to get used to Houston. That would be my other My other concern. Who knows? We'll see. All right, I got to get back to Denver. We kicked the crap out of Denver. Let me tell you about Wise, and then we can go talk, finally wrap it up about Denver. I promise. In the next segment, we will stay on Denver and not bemoan the fact that we have to go to Houston. And I will admit, like, I have a bunch of really close friends who live in Portland, and I was going to get to go to Seattle. And yes, that's part of it. All right? I'm not okay today. Two beeping buzzer beaters. One of those beeping buzzer beaters rims out, and we're okay. And I get to see friends and be in Portland and play the Blazers. And instead, it's the James Harden show. Oh, my gosh! I still love the idea that we should have lost and then gotten on the phone to Portland and arranged it openly where we called each other and said, okay, we know you think you can beat us and we think we can beat you and we can all get on the phone together right now and decide, all right, let's all just try to avoid this matchup. And so if you – how about this? We'll lose to the Clippers. You beat Sacramento and then you be 3, we'll be 6, and then we don't have to – And Houston then falls to 4, and Oklahoma City plays Houston in the 4-5 matchup. They have to beat the crap of each other. We'll be in an easier bracket. Yeah, we'll do that together. You couldn't really do that, but it pretty hysterical. Pretty hysterical. The Wise camera is WYZE, and it's this nice, awesome, small camera for $19.99. Go to WYZE.com/locked and check it out. It has got 1080p. It's clear as can be. They show it on the website. It's really cool. Live stream with 8x digital zoom. So if you want to put it up on your kid upstairs or babysitters at home or Amazon packages, it works through an Amazon Alexa too. Has night vision. Very flexible. Easily placed. Small and not too intrusive. It senses motion for you as well. Also has smart recognition on your smoke alarms and CO2 monitors. It's all really very impressive. Go to WYZE.com/locked. That's WYZE.com/locked and check it out. It's just $19.99. Free rolling 14-day cloud storage. Therefore, it records 12-second event video when it detects motion or sounds for you. Check it out. Unlimited storage as well. It's all at WYZE.com/locked. All right, last night's game. There was just a lot of aspects to last night's game where we were really good. And that's encouraging. You know, first off, Faves came back and showed his value. He was just terrific. The interesting one last night was that Jokic was such a non-factor in the game. Probably, as I said, Denver saying the worst game of his career. Plumlee was a problem. And so was Little Morris. They were both problems. I don't know whether Denver was like tanking or not that focused or resting guys or what they were doing last night in the sense that their bench guys were so much better than their starters. It was really hard to tell. But I thought the Jazz did a good job with Jamal Murray. He took 21 shots. He only went to the free throw line twice. He was kind of inefficient. Will Barton didn't look quite right. Gary Harris got better for Denver last night, which was good for them. But we were up 6 at the end of 1. Denver brought it back out. We didn't defend very well in the second quarter. We defended better in the third. And then in the fourth, we kind of ran away with it. 37 minutes for Royce O'Neal last night. He'll play his 82nd game today if all goes as planned. So will Rudy. So will Joe Ingles, impressively. And then Donovan was just brilliant. Donovan had the most points he's ever had in the first quarter, most points he's ever had at the end of the second, most points he's ever had at the end of the third, and he ended up finishing it with 46 on 14-26 shooting. He was just a star. He had 4 turnovers, but we were a little turnover prone for a while in the second quarter, but once we got that under control, it was a brilliant offensive performance last night. And the other thing last night is, and this is Jokic just not being engaged and Millsap not being very good last night, that's the number one offensive rebounding team in the league, and they only got 3 offensive rebounds in the entire game. And so when you do that to them, it's a pretty big deal. The Jazz only took 2 long twos all game yesterday. Our shot distribution is so good. We'll actually be better than Houston's, but we lose some of that advantage. You know, last night, this is why playing Denver would be great. They took 48 mid-range shots. We took 24. That's such a mammoth advantage, as we've talked about. And we don't have that. They only took 18 shots at the rim all night last night. I mean, that is Rudy just being unreal and probably Denver not being completely in the game. They took 33 short mid-range shots last night. 33 of them. So the Jazz just completely warped the shot chart last night to their advantage again. And then took away Denver's whole secondary offensive second chance points. I don't know if they had a second chance point last night. So that was just a, and that's, you know, and that's the 10, that's how you win that game. You have a better shot chart and you take away their second chance points. And then the crowd was great. And then by the time we left the building, Denver was on cloud nine and we were in the doldrums. We're back there again. We're back there again. Flipping Houston. By the way, I'd done so much Portland prep too. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I jinxed it with all my Portland prep. I can tell you so many things about Portland. Oh, well, I'll have to tell you all those things about Houston. Clippers tonight, I suspect Joe Ingles will play. Rudy Gobert will play. Because of the fact that I think that you gotta give them their 82nd games. I'd be surprised if Donovan plays. I'll be surprised if Faves plays. Maybe Donovan will want to go out for a little while, but back end of a back to back, I'm not convinced that that's what you do. I don't know. I really don't know what our plan is, but it would make sense, frankly, for us to not, you know, Tony Bradley, some of these guys to go to work tonight. Tyler Kavanaugh, Naz Long. We'll see. All right, thanks for tuning in. Let's go get Houston. You know what? Let's go just beat Houston. Somebody tweet it. Let's go beat Houston, Golden State. We'll finally get Denver on the back, or Portland on the backside of this thing. Maybe something happens. Maybe Sacramento upsets. So we're rooting for Sacramento to win tonight, or we're rooting for, yeah, that's it. No, oh, Minnesota beats Denver. Minnesota beats Denver. Sacramento beats Portland. We'll be watching and following those games very, very closely on the broadcast tonight. Have a good one.